Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. In 2017, we're celebrating 25 years of helping people win. Today, we have a great word from Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, would you let us know? Send us an email at story@gutschurch.com.
Let's get in the Word tonight. You guys want to? You want to feed your faith tonight? Let's feed our faith tonight. Let's get stronger and let's get better. God, I thank you for your Word tonight. God, we don't resist a thing about it. God, we receive it hook, line, and sinker. And God, I thank you tonight for changed lives. God, we have the ability now as Christians to tell people about your son, Jesus, and you just changed their lives then. And God, we know that we sow and we water, but you provide the increase. And God, I thank you for supernatural increase in every household in this place, in Jesus' name. And everybody said? Amen. Hey, the first thing I want to just get right into it, but this life that we live now, it's a series of decisions. That's what makes up our lives, okay? But there, and it's actually steps. So we walk this. Jesus said, come on, just walk with me. And he didn't mean just to physically put one foot in front of the other. It wasn't just left, right, left, right. It was, look, make decisions the way you see me make them. And that's what this life is. This life becomes a series of decisions that we make. And really, honestly, the key tonight to kind of launch this is that honor God. See, so everything everything is subject in our lives to the honor and the trust that we have with God. And what that equals is just a great life. So what we have to do is whatever situation you're in right now, and whatever you face right now, whatever storm is coming upon you right now, I'll just tell you, how your reaction and your response has to be, what do I do to honor God? I mean, you're in a marriage right now that you know, once in a while you don't see eye to eye. I'm just telling you, especially the men in here, you've got to pick a path. You've got to make a decision. What's the next thing that I say? The next thing that comes out of my mouth? My body language? It has to honor God. I'm going to honor God in the next thing that I say. And listen, and at first it's going to feel a little contrived. At first it's going to be unnatural. Because it really is. It's supernatural. See, and that's what we have to do. When you face a pile of bills that you've amassed, and you're like, man, how am I going to get through this month? Or how am I going to pay my mortgage? Or how am I going to? Something's got to come out of your mouth that honors God. See, everything in the kingdom is built upon honor and trust, and everything works by authority. So when we speak words that honor God, that brings his authority into the mix. And remember that God, it said in Ephesians 2, verse 4, let's read a few verses here. But Ephesians 2, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us. Let's stop right here, okay? God loves you. See, and you'll think, well, wait a second. I don't like, even when you hated him, when you didn't love him, he loved you. And now my supposition here about this is that most everybody in here really loves God. That's why you're here. I mean, you guys that don't know, Guts is a church. Okay, we're a church. People are holding Bibles. People love God here. Well, but listen, God loves you no matter what you do. See, the great thing about God's kingdom, and everything hinges upon this, that God loves you, no matter what. And that love's unconditional. See, some of you guys aren't living the promise that God has for a situation of deficit or lack in your life. It's because his promises are conditional. You know, there's seven letters written to seven churches in the book of Revelation, and those letters all carry a promise. That will sit at his right hand, that will eat of his tree of blessing, but listen, all of them have a singular, listen, condition is that we overcome. Jesus said, to he who overcomes. And see, so for the next month or so, this is what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about overcoming. I'm going to talk, let me tell you, it would shock you. If you so many people live under a stronghold of disease or illness or weakness or or debt or poverty, or some people over death. Man, there's people that have such a familiarity with death. You know, death was defeated now as Christians, but so many Christians have to deal with a premature death or thoughts of death, or, you know, whether it's a business or it's a marriage or it's even your life. You know what? Those become strongholds in our lives. And what I'm going to do, like Sunday, is going to be a practical message on breaking the stronghold that's in your life. You know, some of you guys are thinking, "Well, I'm just moody," or you might even been diagnosed as being bipolar. Let me tell you, that diagnosis is all that is a diagnosis. There's a stronghold that's operative in your life. And see, and that's why there's so many things. The tithe breaks the stronghold of debt and poverty over your finances. And what does it produce? It produces open windows in heaven above your life, that God pours out blessings that we can't contain. See, that's what God's given us, because he loves us. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Verse 6, and raised us up together. See, you've been raised up together with Jesus. So where he sits now, and that's what the next verse is going to say, is where we sit. And he made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Look here at this verse. The action is God to man. Okay, now here's what we have to understand. The verses where the name of Jesus is Jesus Christ, the action's man to God. But where it's Christ Jesus, it's God to man. And listen, those, we have nothing to do with it. Let me tell you, as soon as you give your life to Jesus, God raises you up together with him and sits you in heavenly places with Christ. Because the action is God to man. It's who God is. It's what he does. See, and we have to understand that that's his grace. That's his power. His grace lifts our lives. See, so now what do we have to do? We've got to feed our faith. Now what do we have to do? We've got to get what the finished work of Christ that God's done in our spirit, we got to get that to our mind and our will and our emotions. We got to get that to our decision-making processes. And see, my processes, I hate even thinking that word when I'm thinking about overcoming in my life. Well, it's a process. No, I see it now as progress. I don't see it as a process anymore. I see it as progress. How are you gonna pay off your mortgage? It's gonna be progress. How are you gonna get out of debt? It's gonna be progress. How are you gonna get healthy? It's gonna be progress. How are you gonna lose that weight? It's gonna be progress. How are you gonna understand the word? It's gonna be progress. See, because let me just tell you, you begin to read the word, and I think probably many people in here, maybe watching on the internet, that you'll think, but when I read it, I don't understand it. That doesn't make God unfaithful. You read his word. Let me tell you how this works. It's a different plane than our intellect operates on. See, what we're doing is we go to a higher plane, and the two don't match, our intellect and God's promise and God's word. So what happens is as we read that word, what are we doing? We're seeking God. See, the promise is that when we seek him, what's going to happen? We'll find him. See, but your mind, listen, is going to rebel against that. Man, there's so much experience you've had, it's so much education you've had, it's so much maybe doctrine that's false. You know, you might have heard the most popular verse when church-going Christians are polled. By far, the most popular verse is, God helps those who help themselves. It's not even in the Word. Yet, it's the most popular verse. See, check yourself, because some of you guys might be thinking, wait a minute. I believe that all, no, God sent Jesus because we can't help ourselves. That's why God sent Jesus. Man, what did we want? We want the law. But let me tell you something. Man, God gave the law, and Jesus said, listen, the way the law is designed, you don't even have to do it to be guilty of breaking it. You just have to think it. If you do it in your heart, you've done it. So guess what? There's not a Jewish person on the planet that can be righteous because they can't keep the law because it's in their heart. See, that's what we have to understand. But then Jesus, who became a stumbling block to the establishment, to tradition, man, became our chief cornerstone. See, to overcome, to break strongholds, to get to a place where death is swallowed up in victory, three quick points. Write these down. Take a picture, whatever you got to do. I want you to have a recall of this. Number one, you have to know the truth. You can't play dumb anymore. You're sitting in church. See, this is guts. We put a premium on God's promise. There's an expectation when you walk out of this door that you're an overcomer. There's an expectation when you walk out of this door that healing's in your hands, that salvation's on your lips. There's that expectation. So we have to know the truth. Man, what's the truth about your finances? Do you know any promises pertaining your debt or pertaining that all our needs met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus? And you know what? And we get to a place where we have to know the truth. The Bible says God sent his word to heal us and deliver us of our destructions. We by whose stripes you were healed. See, Jesus wasn't just whipped because they were mad at him. Do you understand? He was whipped to fulfill prophecy. He had to carry that cross to fulfill prophecy. He was beaten to fulfill prophecy. Every single prophetic word from the Old Testament about Jesus, he fulfilled where he hung on that cross. He gave himself up. God turned his face from him. He was put in a borrowed tomb. All that stuff was prophesied. And on the third day, he rose from the dead. But you know what? People had blinders on at that time. And you know what? They missed it. They didn't even see it. Even people that walk with Jesus after he rose from the dead, they're like, he's like, hey, what's going on? They said, well, you've not heard? What are you talking about? No, you hear about Jesus of Nazareth? Man, a tomb was empty. They either took the body or he came. And something happened. And he's walking with them. And when he left them, that one of them realized that was Jesus and turned to the other one and said, are you an idiot? Did nothing leap within you? You just walked with him. And the guy's like, you did too. See, because they weren't looking for him in the form he was in. He wasn't in that religious box that the law tried to put him in. See, he came in and he fulfilled the law. So we have to know the truth. Number two, and this one's huge, it's boundaries. You have to set parameters. Set parameters, and those parameters has to be with God's word, with God's truth. You set parameters all the time. You put limits on your life all the time. Why not build the parameters of your life based upon God's promise? Does this make sense to you? Because I'm not moving on until it does. This is the key point in this message. The reason your marriage isn't fulfilled and happy and joy-filled is because you don't have the boundaries. I mean, if the men in this room decided to lay down their lives as Christ loved the church and lay down their lives for their wives, I'll tell you what, it clears everything up. I'm telling you, that's an easy approach to submit to. I don't care how strong-willed that girl is. Man, you lay down your life. Man, you love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for. See, those are just parameters. For what? For health, for fulfillment. And number three, and this is huge, you have to know who you are in Christ. And quit saying goofy things like, man, I'm going to pray with you. God's going to forgive you. Man, I'm going to lay hands on you. God's going to heal you. But don't expect much because I'm not Jesus. No, you got to get this, that he's in you. You're as close to Jesus as most people are going to get. That's how you have to look at it. I'm telling you, somebody's got to walk in a boldness. Now, let's go back. What does Acts 4:13 say? And when they saw the boldness, everybody say boldness. Boldness. Say it again. Boldness. Oh, but I'm shy. Shy is not a fruit of the Spirit. Man, boldness. I could be as introverted as the next guy. But let me tell you something, it doesn't excuse anybody. Man, the Bible says to preach the word without ceasing, in season and out of season, to pray without ceasing. Man, I tell you, the point is that God's word promises it, so that's the parameters, and that's who I am in Christ. who I am in Christ is, like it or not, there's healing in my hands. There's salvation on my lips. The Bible says we lay hands on the sick, and what happens? They recover. See, and you look at it, and you're like, oh my gosh, how is that going to happen? Listen, your mind, this is unfruitful to your mind initially. See, that's why Paul wrote the 12th chapter in the book of Romans. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the very mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. See, you want your marriage and your home and your finances and your kids and your career and your ministry to be good, acceptable, and perfect. Anybody have a problem with that? Well, here's what you've got to do. You've got to transform your mind. That's it. Well, man, I got a boss and he doesn't like me. God doesn't care if your boss likes you or not. No, for real. God does not care if you're popular at the workplace. He just cares that you work your tail off. God cares that you outwork everybody. And you'll think, well, they don't pay me enough. Man, let me just tell you, my dad was an executive with Western Auto Supply Company. So I'm his son, so I got a job in the warehouse. I got in multiple fist fights in the back of tractor trailers where guys come in and say, I don't care who your old man is. And one time this guy comes and he said, hey, put him up. I'm like, sir, they don't say put him up anymore. And then he took his teeth out. I'm like, are you kidding me? You gonna hit me with your cane the next, what? But listen, those guys would say, man, if they'd come by, I love working there because you got time and a half for the first 4 hours of overtime, and after that, you got double time. And so they'd come by, and they'd ask all these guys in seniority, you want to work overtime, you want to go overtime? I'm telling you, most of them said, no, if they're not going to pay me enough for me to live in 40 hours, I don't get paid enough. It's like, man, that's the right answer. Why? Because you want to work overtime? You're doggone right I do. That's easy money. Man, I go from $7 an hour to $10 or $11 an hour. Man, and then 2 hours later, I go to $14 an hour. Let me tell you something. That's high cotton at that time. Man, I didn't make that much money coaching football in Dallas years later. But you know what? Those guys passed it up. And I think there's a lot of Christians that have that same kind of mindset. Well, if God wanted to do it, God would do it. Do you understand? Everything that God is ever going to do, he's already done. Evidently, you don't understand that. Is that new to you? No, look it up. Show me something that God's going to do. What God does new, and the Old Testament said, God's going to do a new thing. The new thing is he's going to use people. He's not going to use the jawbone of a donkey anymore. He's not going to use a building anymore. He's not going to use an ark anymore. There's no ark of the covenant anymore. It's in us now. Doggone it. You guys, this is a rough deal tonight, huh? Man, I got friends here. Act like you belong. This is church. Act like you got some sense. But see, we've got this. Listen to this in 1 Corinthians 15:54. I threw this in late in the game, so hopefully it'll come up. 1 Corinthians 15. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, when this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that's written, death is swallowed up in victory. Go back in that verse and circle or highlight the word then. Taylor, then things work out. When corruptible puts on incorruptible, when mortal puts on immortality, then everything works out. See, most people look at it and go, well, but I've still got that corruptible seed. You know, it's still that thing. Let me just tell you something. As much as I love Sandy's family, as much as I love my family, as soon as she got pregnant with Taylor, we said, God, I thank you right now that bloodlines, the generational stuff, that family stuff is not a part of this baby in Jesus' name. Not. See, and that, and what we have to understand is, man, kids... See, I think we're all into that because we want to be super spiritual. There's some kind of generational guy, or it could be on your kid or a situation. Let me tell you, please, as a part of this church, if I can be any kind of leader at all, quit looking at it like that and look at it as a generational choice. I'm just telling you right now, you might say, well, but my daddy was an alcoholic, so I've got a predisposition to be an alcoholic. Really? Do you trust the word or not? What does the word say? You're a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. What does passed away mean? Dead. Old things are dead. And all things become new. They're reborn. They're alive. Have you heard of this concept of the new birth? See, corruptible has to put on incorruptible. So how do we do that? We begin to believe God's word. We believe to trust God's word. We speak God's word. Man, some of you guys in here might have a history of drugs. Big dadgum deal. Let me tell you, with God, drugs are easy. I'm just telling you. Some of you guys are dealing with cancer. With God, cancer's easy. No, most people, man, if they believe what science is going to say, man, they lose hope. How much time do I have, Doc? Man, I'm thanking God that my dad didn't believe what the doctor said to him 2 years ago when he said, you don't have 6 months left. Now, what's he doing? He's sitting in the front row here. He's backstage eating our food. He's back. He's coming to church. He acts like he owns a dadgum place. But see, you got to understand, you got to have that kind of will that's in your life. Man, I'll tell you, we are not the fetus here, are we, Sandy? No, we win every dadgum day. And you know what they say? Well, I don't think you could say that. Really? Well, I'm going to say it again. We win every dadgum day. See, that's the point. This life, the death gets swallowed up in victory, but we've got to take the corruptible and we've got to put on the incorruptible. That's Christ. That's his word. That's his promise. But here's what we have to understand. It's not about people. The situations that we deal with, it's not that's not our enemy. Your boss isn't your enemy. The market isn't your enemy. The government isn't your enemy. The laws, the rules, they're not your enemy. And I'll tell you why. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, here's the deal. If you can't get on, if you stay on this plane, you stay on that corruptible mortal plane, yeah, you're duking it out every day. But let me just tell you, you come up to that incorruptible, immortal place. Oh my, Paul said this, Eric, you can walk on this earth as a mere man. You can choose that. And I think most people do. What if you've been duped, sir? What if you've been duped into thinking, well, you're just a fella, you're just a guy, you're not anymore. You're born again, just like Jesus was born of a virgin birth. Let me just tell you, God redid that with you. He's your dad now. You've got the same bloodline that Jesus has. See, that's how we have to look at this. So now, think about that generational curse that, wait a second, your dad's bloodline's gone, so now it's God, it comes into Jesus' bloodline. See, that's the idea. There's no excuses here. I'll just tell you, what God's word, what God's promise does immaculately is it eliminates our excuses. Yeah, but what about? Yeah, but what about? Yeah, but what about? I don't care about yeah, but what about. I care about what God said. Yeah, but what about is a lie. The Bible says, let every man be a liar and God's word be the truth. Well, you call my granddaddy a liar? If he's a man. See, but that's how we have to look at it. We've got to be fierce about this. What we've got to do is we've got to realize there's an urgency to this spiritual thing in our lives. You know, it's like that motivational speaker that says, man, you've got to want to succeed more than you take your next breath. Well, you got to want all of God more than that next breath. There's got to be an urgency to it. Man, you don't want this to be, yeah, I know where the rope is, I know where the rope is, I know where the rope is, and then you go off the cliff and you're trying to grab the rope. I don't know. I don't know how that works out. I've never tried that. I don't try that at home, but I guarantee you jump off a cliff next to a rope and you try to grab that rope on the way down, it's going to be a difficult stop. It's probably going to splat. See, so why? Why not take that rope? Why not get bound to God's word now and then put up some guardrails, put up some boundaries, put up some parameters in your life? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and rulers of darkness heavenly places, that the world doesn't see this. Man, governments are trying. Why do you think presidents surround themselves with ministry people so much? Why do you think President Trump has so many ministers now? He didn't use those ministers in business, but now he's in government. Now he's the leader of the free world. And you know what he's doing? He's laying his head on his pillow every night saying, I need some help. God, man, the one thing that I heard that blesses me is he said that the biggest regret of his life is he's neglected his faith. See, so we look at it, I think, you know what? So many people that visit our churches, they're just here. They're in that position because they've neglected their faith. Well, let's not neglect it anymore. Man, let's be the men and the women that God's called us to be. Paul says, look, you're wrestling against flesh and blood. Now take on the whole armor of God. Take it on. What? The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. Your loins are girded with the truth. Your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Man, you got it covered. Everything but your backside. Your backside's vulnerable, so we don't want to turn tail and run. We want to face our issues. We want to face our storms. Man, therefore, put on the whole armor of God. The B side, the end of that verse says, and having done all in the Amplified, it says, having done all the crisis demands. Do you see that in the Amplified? It's louder. It's easier to hear. And having done all the crisis demands to stand firmly in your place. See, here's the deal. Let me ask you a simple question. Kyle, is health your place? Yes. Is health your place? Yes. Nina, is health your place? Yes. Stand in that place. Don't let disease or sickness or symptoms or a situation knock you off your place. Man, take the place that you have. And understand that. In James 4:7, it's real simple. The half-brother of Jesus just writes and says, look, it's real easy. Submit to God. Resist the devil. And he'll flee. See, I think there's too much of us. It's like, oh, God, I'm just submitting you. I'm freaking out, God. No. You have two choices. Remember, you've heard this for years. You could freak out or you could trust God. Which one honors God? Which one wins? Has it done you any good to freak out? Ever? See, this is the place we have to be. Let's go back to the 3 points on the screen. The 3 points. You have to know the truth, you have to set parameters with God's truth, and then you have to know who you are in Christ. See, do you understand something? I get up most days. Most days I get up and there's stress and pressure. There's a little bit of anxiety. It's a lot of people. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of property. It's a lot of vision. It's a lot of, and there's expectations. So I get up and there's those anxieties. And you know what? I have to get up and say, God, I just thank you today. I'm a believer in Jesus. Bought by the blood of Jesus. God, I thank you. I'm going to heaven and will never smell the scent of hell. And then I'll start saying things like, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. Let me tell you what I'm doing when I'm doing this, okay? It's not some mantra. What it is, it's me submitting myself to God. It's me priming that pump, just getting that pump primed so that it's like, wait a second, the word's flowing through me now. Because the word's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So the word's rolling through me now. Now, let me tell you, that anxiety is gone. That spirit of fear doesn't even try me anymore. See, because let me tell you something. The bottom line with this is they know. In these calm waters, we know that our enemy's defeated, right? And you know what? He does too. Do you know that? He knows he's defeated. He knows what's in store for him. And he doesn't care about you. It drives him crazy that you have joy in you. Do you understand the devil has no joy? He lost his joy, can never regain his joy. So he has no strength. See, but you come in and you got joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy, and that drives him crazy. Not because I can't carry a tune, because I'm reminding him that he has none and he's defeated. So now guess what he's going to try to do? He's going to try to just slap and slap until you relinquish that joy. You know, I believe that misery loves company. I believe that the devil's miserable. He just loves, I think he loves it when Christian church folk have no joy. When Christian church folk can get in the flesh like that. When I can. Man, if you give me 3 to 8 seconds, I'm not going to lose my temper. But if I lose it in that first 3 seconds... So why let those 3 seconds hinder you? You got a situation. Yeah, you got a storm. Yeah, people may or may not know. You know, it's the old adage. People care that their dog died, not your dog died. And some people just don't like dogs. I'll stop there before I get political. But understand this, God knows. God knows what you're going through. Do you understand? That's why you're sitting here right now. Because God knows what you're going through. So there's something that I said tonight that is going to trigger a memory, because the Holy Spirit will remind you of everything Jesus said, of something Jesus said that you heard 10 years ago. And you're going to see me after church and go, oh my gosh, that point that you made was so powerful. And I'm going to throw my chest out, my shoulders back, and I'm going to have my head high, and I'm going to be thinking, oh yeah, it's very powerful. I'm just telling you. But tell me, which point was that? Because there were so many of them, it's hard for me to count. And you'll tell me something that I never even said. And I'll be like, God, I'm sorry I tried to take credit for that. Please forgive me. That Luciferian thing is gone in my life in Jesus' name. But listen, it's because the Holy Spirit will remind us of things that Jesus said. He'll show us things we didn't know. Do you understand this whole thing is fail-safe? We win. And that's it. So this Sunday, practical steps, practical things of just breaking strongholds in our lives. And you know what I believe? I believe when we talk about this, light's going to come into situations. You're going to realize that light is going to dispel that darkness, and some of you guys are going to have strongholds just going to be released in your life and it'll be gone just because you shed some light on it. It's that simple. Is there anybody in here tonight that your life's not right with God for any reason, any number of reasons? You're here and you say, man, I just need to get my life right with God. I need to make Jesus Lord of my life. I've been apathetic. I've been hit and miss on this thing. And my life's just not right with Jesus. My life's not right with God. And I want to get my life right with God tonight. Just lift your hand if that's you. I want to pray with you and pray for you. Please, God bless you. Is there anybody else? Just lift your hand. What an awesome time it is. God bless you. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? Please don't leave here tonight without your life right with God. You're why we're here. Is there anybody else? Just lift your hand. Normally, I'm just simple enough that I'm thinking the reason I'm asking if there's anybody else isn't just to take more time and milk it, but because there is. And if I'm saying it, that means God's loving you right now, right into right relationship with Him. So if you're here and you need to get your life right with God and you haven't raised your hand yet, just put it up now, please. Is there anyone else? God bless you, sir. God will meet you right where you are. I'm going to pray. I want everybody to pray with me. Father God, I give you my life. Jesus Christ is Lord of my life and whom I trust. God, I thank you now for this so great a life. I didn't earn. I don't deserve. I just get it because you're my dad now. And Jesus is Lord and Savior of my life. God, I'm going to heaven. I'll never smell the scent of hell. And I win every day because I'm your kid. and I am forever. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand, will you?
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.